At this point, just a few days from the end of summer, I think it's fair to say that you have had a wet and humid summer this year. A welcome relief from the hot, dry and smoky one the year before, that's for sure. But it comes with other challenges. Paul Turton was talking mold on his show earlier in the week, but I've noticed something else. Just yesterday, I went to work on Wednesday morning. There was not a sign of these things, but when I came home Wednesday afternoon, they were everywhere, scattered in my lawn, different shapes, sizes, varieties, I assume, but I don't really know. So are you also seeing mushrooms pop up at your place? There was one person I knew who could tell us what was happening. That's ecologist and co-author, Wild Mushrooming, Alison Pulio. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya. Lucky you having all those mushies in your backyard.
I mean, yeah, it was, well, and in my indoor plants as well, which was more of the surprise.
Fantastic. That's great. I mean, yeah, mold in the shower recess, that's not so much fun, but mushrooms in the backyard, that's wonderful news. It means you've got a healthy garden. That's great.
I was going to ask what it means about the ecosystem if we do have them pop up pretty quickly.
Look, that's always, I mean, it's telling us that exactly as you say, we've got this nice, humid, wet weather. The soil temperature is starting to drop down. They're the conditions mushrooms love. So, but it's also telling us that you've got a good, clean, healthy soil in your backyard. If the fungi are there, that's a really good sign.
Do they pop up super quickly, or was I just not very observant until they were very, very clear?
No, you're absolutely right. That's their nature. They tend to just kind of boom and bust things. Suddenly the conditions are right and they reproduce because, of course, the actual fungus itself is within the soil. That's what we call the mycelium, this big network of these long fibres. And the mushrooms you're seeing, that's just the reproductive part, a bit like the flowering plants. And they do, they tend to come up very quickly. And that's also part of the reason why they attract so much mythology and intrigue and curiosity as well.
Yeah. How diverse will the mushrooms be that we're seeing pop up around our neighbourhoods at the moment?
Look, we do have an incredible diversity of fungi in Australia. We actually think we could have one of the highest numbers, the greatest diversity of any country in the world. And that's because we have an enormous diversity of plant species, of ecosystem types, of climates, microclimates. So we're actually very lucky to have a mega diverse mycota. Mycota means the types of fungi in Australia.
How do we know if they're good or bad mushrooms? I mean, all mushrooms are good, though, but I was worried about, not me, I can leave them there, but my dog I was a little bit concerned about. How do we know if they can stay or if we do need to, like, just address them a little bit?
All fungi are good, just that some aren't good to eat. So that's a good way to think about it. So there's some you definitely don't want to eat or you'll be feeling not very well or you might even end up in the grave if you get the seriously poisonous ones. And I reckon your dog's pretty good at spotting them as well. So all fungi are doing positive things in your soil for your plants, making connections, helping them get nutrients. There's just some that you don't want to eat. It's a bit like plants. Like plants are good things too, but there's some that you don't want to eat or you don't want to sit on because they're prickly or whatever. But the fungi aren't doing any harm at all in your garden. If you create a system, a monoculture in your garden, then some fungi can get out of control, like the spots on your roses or the ones that can be problematic if you create the conditions for them to do so. But so long as you keep a diverse garden, you keep a good soil structure, then all the fungi there are going to be doing beneficial things.
How long will they tend to last? Like if this is sort of their reproductive cycle when we see them above the ground, how long can we expect them to see there? Or does that depend on the variety, Alison?
Absolutely right. It does depend on the variety, but most fungi, they tend to be quite short-lived. So some fungi pop up and they last only hours before they wither and disappear again. The majority last between a couple of days and a couple of weeks. But the actual organism, in the same way that when you see your roses flower, they might only last for a few days or a few weeks, but the rose plant itself stays longer. And it's the same with the fungi. That organism will be there under the soil potentially for years or decades or some even hundreds of years. But the actual fruiting structure, the mushroom itself, tends to be very short-lived, just a few days.
Yeah. Quite perfectly, your new book is about to come out, Wild Mushrooming, which is what many of us might be doing as well. What is wild mushrooming to start with?
So wild mushrooming, basically it means foraging, collecting wild mushrooms as food. And we don't tend to have those traditions that you see more typically in continental Europe. But what this is actually the first field guide that's coming out where we differentiate edible species from toxic species. And what we've tried to do is encourage what we call a slow mushrooming approach. So rather than going out, picking everything you see, risking getting something poisonous, but also taking all those fungi out of the environment that other animals might want to eat, we say, just just start with one or two species and learn fewer species thoroughly rather than many species superficially. And that way you won't end up getting poisoned and you don't just rape and pillage the environment from these wonderful organisms as well.
Are we starting to see more people keen to forage for mushrooms themselves?
Oh, look, it's astonishing, Kaya. Over the last 20 years of running mushroom workshops, I can't believe there's been this exponential increase. And I think it's really exciting. I think people are wanting to go back to, you know, discover these old traditions of collecting fungi. But also all sorts of people I hadn't imagined. I'm getting calls from authors writing books who want to put fungi in their books. I'm getting calls from people doing theatre. So I think they finally were having some kind of fungal awakening, so to speak, and they're entering people's consciousness. I mean, it's definitely time, I think, for the world to become more fungal and less viral.
I wonder if that's time at home, like if the last 12 months being at home, stopping, slowing down, watching, you know, at one point the only view we were allowed to have was what was going on in our lawns and our gardens.
I think you're spot on. I think there's been a new sort of focus on what's closer to home and what's growing. And I've certainly seen all sorts of things right in my neighbourhood I'd never seen before. I think that's a big part of it.
Mm. Do you think the knowledge of what is okay for us to forage and eat and what is not is something that anyone can pick up?
I do. I think in Australia, I've got the really good fortune of spending the autumn in Australia, and then I head to Europe for the autumn over there. Over the last 20 years, I've been doing that, and I've noticed that there is a lot more inherent knowledge about mushrooms in Europe than there is here. But I do think, of course, anyone can pick that up, but it's like learning anything. If you want to be a good chef or good at knitting or good at sport, it's about practice and observation and attention to detail. And that's why I say to people, don't go out with a book and try and learn 500 species. Just learn one and look at it over time. How it changes as it grows in its young stages, old stages, how it changes when it's affected by weather. And that way you'll recognise all of those subtle differences, or sometimes not so subtle, within the species. And that way you'll never ever mix it up. But it's about going slowly and fine-tuning and careful observation.
Is autumn, you know, we are just a few days away from autumn, even though we're starting to see this boom in mushrooms now. Is autumn the peak time for mushrooms?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Like you find your wildflowers in spring, the majority of fungi pop up in autumn because they do like that cooling soil and that increase in moisture. And I think, I mean, I've been amazed at this, all sorts of different people who come to fungi. There's not just the foragers, but there's those who love to photograph them and illustrate them. There's those who just enjoy the aesthetics of seeing them there, and those who have a more scientific interest. So I think, you know, autumn's the absolute best time to get out. And I think most people are familiar with that cap and stalk style umbrella-shaped mushrooms, but mushrooms also, fungi manifest in all these other forms, shaped like corals or lattice balls or even phalluses. So I think people's concept of what fungi are starts to really broaden when they look closely, even just in their own backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. One of mine is definitely the cap and stalk, and then the other one in my yard is this like pure white. It's like stretching out. It almost looks like lace as it starts to break down a little bit. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, wow, it sounds like you've got yourself a lovely slime mould.
Good. Is that good? Am I happy with
it's
my slime mould?
Yeah, slime moulds are fantastic and highly intelligent things too, so that's great.
Oh, no, as long as it doesn't outwit me, we'll be fine. Alison, I know that you have some dates coming up for New South Wales as well throughout March and into May as well. What's the best way people can find out a little bit more about your book and ask you questions if they want as well?
Sure, I'd be thrilled to hear from people. I'm doing quite a few different workshops throughout New South Wales in Berry, Shell Harbour, where else, Bowral, and then up into the ACT, also across to Orange, Dubbo. So it's usually through the different Landcare organisations, but all of those workshops are actually listed on my website, which is just my full name, alisonpulio.com. And also there's information about the book or Syro Publishing. That will be in all bookshops as of this Monday the 1st.
Amazing.
And I'll be thrilled to hear from people.
Alison, it's always great to chat. I feel like you and I could talk fungi all day long, so thank you.
Always happy to do so. Thanks, Kai.
Alison Pulio there. She's an ecologist and the co-author of that brand new book coming out on Monday, Wild Mushrooming. Her website, alisonpulio.com, for the latest.